Today we're in the book of Mark, so I want to encourage you to go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, make your way to the book of Mark. Pastor Taylor is away today on his guard duty again, and he asked if I would be willing to fill the pulpit today, and I was glad to be able to do that. I'm always grateful for an opportunity to preach the word, teach the word. And today, the sermon title that I kind of came up with studying the book of Mark and this part of the Gospel of Mark is, the title I've come up with is called Decisions, Decisions. There are some decisions in this passage that have to be made. I thought about maybe, you'll know the story as we get into it, it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And if you've heard that story before, it's a great miraculous event that happens in the life of Jesus and the apostles. And I thought about one of the catchy titles, maybe Lord Help Me, or I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up. Y'all remember that silly advertisement years ago? And today I hope we'll focus in on the decisions that were made in this particular passage. So if you will, take your Bible, Mark chapter 10. I'm going to begin at verse 46. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible version, whatever version you may have. If you will, online, join us and find your scripture. You can go to Bible.com or BibleGateway.com and pull scripture down and go to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And we'll begin reading today from the passage of that of the Gospel of Mark. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's calling for you." So he threw off his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabboni," the blind man said to him, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, verse 52, "Go, your faith has saved you." And immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. Immediately he could see and began to follow Jesus on the road. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this passage of the Gospel of Mark that we are going to focus in on today and learn from. The decisions that can be made when we choose to follow you and to see you as you see us. We thank you for your word. We honor your word today in Jesus' name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to take a minute in this passage to kind of focus in a little bit on who Mark was. I love the Gospel of Mark. Mark is known in several different ways as one of the apostles. He wasn't one of the original apostles. He was a disciple who worked alongside Paul and Barnabas, and he also assisted Peter. But he was ultimately called to reach the Egyptian peoples. He's known also as Mark the Evangelist in some historic documents, and he is recognized as the founder of the Coptic Church. And so a little bit about who Mark was. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, we find that Jesus and the disciples are on the road to Jericho. They're leaving Jericho, and what we'll find later is they're going into Jerusalem for that triumphal entry. Jesus knows what's coming, I believe. He knows that he's going to be coming into that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but it's not going to be the, at Palm Sunday and at Easter time, we think of the people are wanting a conqueror. They're wanting a ruler to take over. And Jesus, throughout his life, has ministered in a way and he's exemplified the type of ruler and the type of kingship that God is going to establish in his people. And it's that of servant leadership. Jesus didn't come to take over. He already owned the universe. He was a co-owner, if you will, with God the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. He is a triune son of, he's the Son of God in the Trinity. So Jesus didn't need to come to take over. He already owned everything. Okay, Jesus comes to teach us how to walk in the authority of the Word of God, of the kingship of God. So we find Jesus and the disciples just prior to this passage in verse 46. If you'll go back a few verses and read this afternoon, they're asking all kind of questions of Jesus, and he's talking to them about different things that end up having to do with authority and government. And one of them asks, well, so when you come into your kingdom, who's going to get to sit on your right side? Who's going to get to sit on your left side? So even these apostles and disciples were already thinking mutiny and takeover. They wanted their place. Where do I fit? Who's going to get to be your right-hand man? Who's going to get to be the prince of the kingdom? And so Jesus, we'll find in just a moment, asked them, what do you want from me? And so they're asking of those different places of authority. These were common men and women of Jewish culture that really did believe that this was their moment, that their Messiah had come to right all the wrongs and injustices that had been inflicted upon them. And in verse 46, we see a poor, vagrant, blind man that's among the poor there, known as Bartimaeus, or son of Timaeus, Hebrew bar, in front of a term means son of, so son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. Well, here's a moment of decision. Jesus has got a throng of people following him. He's been teaching his apostles, his disciples. And in the midst of this frenzy of a crowd, a blind beggar shouts out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus has to make a decision. Do I stop? He's heard the voice of the beggar. Do I stop and help this poor guy? So God in the flesh, our Savior, our Redeemer, he's heard that voice. He hears Bartimaeus. And so the disciples have got a decision now to make. Do they bother their king, their Messiah, with this vagrant blind man? Do they allow this beggar to bother Jesus? In the midst of that crowd were probably the disciples and apostles and folks that were looking for the next big thing. They're not wanting this beggar to interrupt Jesus. He's about to walk them into their new kingdom. And then there are other people in the midst. There's Jesus who's got to make a decision. There's disciples who have made a decision. Are they going to allow this beggar to bother Jesus? The people around observing are maybe people who were of a lost, wayward culture. They were maybe masses of unbelievers still sort of following the crowd to see what's going to happen next with this so-called Messiah who has come to save the world. Do they really believe who this Jesus guy is? Do they really believe that he can do miracles that they've heard about? Today we might call them the nuns and the duns. I don't want anything to do with your religion. I've seen it. I'm a little skeptical. Or either I've seen what I thought was your gospel and I got hurt or got mistreated. I don't want anything else to do with it. I'm done with church. So there could have been a mix of those kind of folks. So the disciples and the other followers are kind of frustrated with this peasant man who's among the beggars that were probably labeled by the clothing, the cloak that they wore. We don't know what it looked like. It probably was a dingy gray sackcloth type of garment that was placed on the people who were inscribed to be beggars. They were marked so that you would know, oh, well, be careful, there's beggars there, and you would know them by what they wore. There are many passages in all the Gospels that describe miraculous healings of certain people, some people of notoriety, some people of elite status. But almost all miracles that Jesus performed occurred among the throngs of poor people who had very little and were usually socially despised and rejected among the crowds. So Bartimaeus is calling out, please help me, son of David. Almost demanding the time of the Messiah. So it's decision time. Jesus stops. He's heard the call of this poor blind man. I think here we can learn that Jesus hears our cry. If we're down, if we're despised, if we're rejected, if we're wounded, if we're in a time of loss, hopelessness, Jesus hears us. I think we can learn from Bartimaeus. He will hear our cry when we call out to him. He knows our voice. When we come to him as Bartimaeus did in this case, in an attitude of humility and worship. Humility, despair. He hears us and he knows us. I believe that's what prompted Bartimaeus in this account to cry out like he did, rather than just his voice be caught in the drone of all the other beggar voices. I think he gave a little extra effort and cried out, maybe this is my time. So Jesus calls for it. He instructs the disciples to call for Bartimaeus and bring him closer. And then Jesus asked the most incredible and obvious question of Bartimaeus, which he had just asked the apostles and disciples in verse 35, 37. They're talking about authority and who's going to sit at your right and your left. And Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you? And they wanted him to grant them an opportunity of power. Here, Jesus asked the exact same question of blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus has a decision to make. What's he going to ask of Jesus? A little bit of background on Bartimaeus. Author and theologian, Anglican author and theologian Dan Clandidon states the following. Bartimaeus, what a name. Scholars have spilled a lot of ink on the name Bartimaeus, and for good reason. Mark, in this writing, seems to use an apparent wordplay that points beyond the miracle of Jesus to the meaning of Jesus. Bartimaeus is a linguistic hybrid that's half Aramaic and half Greek. Mark knows that he has intentionally flummoxed his Gentile readers, and so in verse 46, he employs a favorite technique that he uses eight other times in his gospel. He gives us a parenthetical explanatory translation that is the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus. But what does that mean? Literally and simply, verse 46 thus reads, son of Timaeus, that is, son of Timaeus. If Timaeus sounds vaguely familiar, we might remember from philosophy class, Timaeus is the title of Plato's famous dialogue and the name of its narrator. In the Timaeus and elsewhere, Plato famously contrasts seeing the mere physical world while being blind to eternal truths. I'll say that again. Timaeus is the title of Plato's famous dialogue and the name of its narrator. In the Timaeus and elsewhere, Plato famously contrasts seeing the mere physical world while being blind to eternal truths. Bartimaeus. So blind Bartimaeus begs Jesus, Rabbi or Rabboni, I want to see. Hebrew for Rabboni, Rabbi, is my teacher. So he's calling out to Christ, I want you to teach me. I want you to know that I'm submitting myself to your authority. So this poor beggar is not just trying to grab a few coins from some elite social companion or other citizen. He's calling on Jesus to say, I want to submit myself to you. I'm weak, I'm lowly, I'm utterly useless unless you turn and you hear me and help me. His response is, I want to see. Not I want a seat of high authority, as the apostles had been asking. Not I want a rank and a title. He's not asking, can I rule over other people? He simply responds, I want to see. So Bartimaeus, I believe, has seen in his spirit, if what Dan Clendenin said is factual, I believe Bartimaeus has seen in his spirit the healer and the Messiah, who Jesus is. Not just what he can do for him, but who Jesus is. And he's not just the son of David that he's been labeled by the nationalists. He is the son of God. He is the Messiah. Bartimaeus sees in his blinded condition the one, the Savior. Though he can't see with physical eyes, with spiritual eyes, he sees, this is my Savior. This is the one who can heal me. This is the one who might consider me as a valid human person, unlike most of my society. We don't specifically learn why Bartimaeus was blind and poor, only that he wore the label, the cloak, the garment of the poor. Maybe this cloak was thrift store hand-me-down. Maybe it was a leftover or a throwaway, but probably it was a dingy gray sackcloth that was marked with an insignia so that people would know this is a lesser person. Disregard them. We do know that Jesus heals Bartimaeus with his words. Your faith has made you whole. Darius Liao, who is a Christian writer from Japan, has a website called Thirst, and I found this article very interesting regarding this passage. Regarding the cloak that Bartimaeus throws off after he's healed, throwing aside one's cloak might seem insignificant to us, but there's historical context that shows that this cloak Bartimaeus was wearing was probably a government-issued one to provide legitimacy to beggars, similar to a license for them to be able to beg and collect alms. To look at it another way, the cloak may have given Bartimaeus his right to beg, and it probably protected him from the elements, but it was also this cloak that sealed his identity as a beggar. If we dig a little deeper, we'll notice quite early that Bartimaeus isn't really much of a name. It just means son of Timaeus. He was just someone's son, and yet another identity put on him by others that spoke nothing of his significance as an individual, unique person. He was just Bartimaeus the beggar, the man with no significant name or anything to his name. Like Bartimaeus, we all have cloaks that identify or associate us with a particular stereotype, a struggle, a social standing, or even a future. Darius says, using myself as an example, I used to believe that I was lesser than because I came from a neighborhood school. For a period of time, I hated going to school because the school uniform that I wore made me feel kind of condemned to a lesser than future. Stereotypical thinking I had unconsciously adopted with regard to most students who don't make it to elite schools with their grades or talents. But unlike Bartimaeus, many times the cloaks that we wear are not given by others, but by ourselves. When we sin and fall short of God's glory, as Romans says, 3:23, the sense of guilt and condemnation can overwhelm us to the point we sometimes believe that we are beyond saving. When we're wading through a prolonged period of singleness or barrenness or unanswered prayer or depression, mental illness, we entertain the devil's lies that we are not good enough. And in the process, we find ourselves trapped in debilitating insecurities because we have lost our God-given identity. So when I think about Bartimaeus throwing off this cloak, I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder, was blind Bartimaeus thinking, what is wrong with me? He had been labeled, he had been ostracized, rejected, disenfranchised. If you have never been in that situation, you may not even know how to grapple with that thought process. But Bartimaeus is this blind beggar labeled to remain with the beggars, must have thought within himself, what's wrong with me? How did I get here? Maybe his family name carried with it a disregard. Maybe he had been thrown away because of a family generational curse. And, well, you know those Hatfields and McCoys. You know how they are, to quote our famous feuding families. Maybe his environment wasn't all it should have been. Maybe he had not been raised in an environment that would cause him to believe he was good enough, that he could become someone special. Maybe friends, maybe peers, maybe playmates had bullied him, taunted him. Maybe he just, through his own insecurities, had fallen into hard times and now was a beggar. I want to wonder, did blind Bartimaeus think, why should I have hope? I've been here all these years begging and No one's offered to help me. I'm having to scrounge for every penny I can find, for every morsel of food I can find. Beggars rarely overcome that lowly state, and they usually die as beggars, many times without even a burial place. I wonder if blind Bartimaeus was thinking, who will help me? No one's ever helped me before. No one's reached out. I've reached out. I've begged and begged, and no one's helped me. I've been unseen, discarded, a nuisance to society. But then Jesus passes by, and Jesus makes a decision. And I believe premeditated, Jesus made a decision. Jesus turns and calls for Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus is brought to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. With all those thoughts he must have been processing in his mind, all the things he could have asked for, all of the wishes and hopes, if this is the one who could become my Savior, my Redeemer, my friend, Jesus asks, what do you want from me? And he just, all he can think of is, I want to see. I've been blind all these years. I just want to see. Jesus didn't even touch him, as he did with other ill people, other beggars, other lame, other blind people. He didn't touch him. He just spoke the words, your faith has made you whole. His belief that he could see has made him whole. I wonder if in this account, Jesus wants us to take more stock in the words that we hear and that we speak. Jesus didn't declare over him any proclamation. He didn't declare any blessing over him. He just asked him, what do you want? And Bartimaeus just said, I want to see. What are we asking ourselves today from Jesus? Here are some things I think we could learn from this healing of blind Bartimaeus. One, I think we could cast off our labels. We have got to find the way, if we're going to find salvation, to find wholeness, to find healing in Christ. Many of us have accepted that he is the Messiah. We've maybe prayed the prayer of confession, Jesus, would you save me? Many of us maybe have come to the Savior, as just as you are, as we sang. But many of us may be living in insecurities, under labels of shame, condemnation. Cast off those labels and recognize who we are. Jesus calls us joint heirs. We've been made more than conquerors, according to Scripture. To quote the famous Broadway hit Hamilton, you need to take your shot. Blind Bartimaeus took his shot. He wasn't giving away his shot. He felt in his spirit something rise up. This is my opportunity. So he called on Jesus. Today, take your shot. Take your opportunity to call on Jesus. If you've been waiting and waiting, call on Jesus. Submit yourself to Rabboni. Submit yourself to the Rabbi, Jesus, as your master, your Savior. He was God in the flesh. He was Jesus the Christ. He baptizes us in his Holy Spirit as a comforter. And because he does that, we can then, like Bartimaeus, throw off our cloaks, our labels, and we can go and be a better me and a better you. Through the power, through the comfort, through the filling of the Holy Spirit, we can throw off those heavy bands, as the little kindergarten song used to say. Throw off those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands. Let all of God's people praise the Lord. Today, you might not be a blind Bartimaeus begging for crumbs on the roadside of life. You might see yourself as having it all together. You might think, well, I'm living the good life, and life's turned out pretty much good for me, much different from blind Bartimaeus. But are you following Christ? Have the successes of life blinded you from the reality that this life is only the beginning? There's more. Are you consumed with the things of this world that are never going to fill that void down deep in your heart? Have the good things in life caused you to stumble? Have you become like a beggar, wandering from place to place, looking to fill that hole in your heart for the true love and acceptance of the Father? The old country song said, I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. Are you looking for the love, the acceptance that only the Father can give you in all the wrong places? Is your life consumed with distractions so that you're not able to follow Jesus? Or have you been made to feel lesser than by labels that others have placed on you? Do you see yourself as Christ sees you? A child of the Father, a little lost lamb seeking to find the flock, a lost soul just seeking to belong. Where do you find yourself today? I hope today that we can see in this story of blind Bartimaeus that many of us may find ourselves in one of those situations, either the situation of Bartimaeus or the people or the apostles. I want to ask us today to consider that Jesus is our Messiah. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And just like Bartimaeus, we can throw off those cloaks of condemnation or shame or distraction that are causing us to not be able to see Jesus for who he is. I pray we'll see him today as blind Bartimaeus came to see him, not just with his spirit eyes, but his eyes were open and he was able to go and to become a better Bartimaeus and a follower of Christ. Let's pray, and then let's respond to the word.